Welcome to the Murphy, Sam, and Jody After the Show podcast, which is brought to you by Factor, pre-prepared meals. Sam has a special code for you at the end of the podcast so you can try it for yourself at a discount.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so today, Murphy, I don't want you to be surprised. I don't want you to be taken off, what I've caught off guard, as they say, but I am definitely going to start over with the Bon Jovi documentary.
Wow.
Again,
already?
Today.
The whole four parts?
I'm definitely ready for it again, yeah.
That good, or you miss something?
Well, I don't know. I felt like I spent my weekend with John Bon Jovi and the whole band, and I've waited. I never thought we'd get this. I know I've said that a bunch because I didn't expect them to ever dish, okay? And I think I will watch for sure the first episode again and definitely the third episode.
Okay.
Those were the two best ones, in my opinion.
So the talk was that when Richie went to John's house to watch this
Richie Sambora.
After the third episode is when he left.
Because
he didn't like the way he was
being
treated.
He didn't like the way he was portrayed.
So you're saying that three is good?
Three is interesting because they really finally start to get into that.
Mm-hmm. I only saw the last 20 minutes of episode 4.
Oh.
So I saw how it ends.
Murphy came walking into the family room and I'm wrapping it up. I've got like 20 minutes left. And he sits down and I'm like, I really didn't want to pause.
So what did I miss?
Right. It's just, it felt like I spent time with them and I want it again.
Did it take four episodes to tell the story, in your opinion, or not?
Look, if I had been this documentary maker, John, I care about his voice. I really do. But it goes, and as it should, for pacing, it should go back and forth between the 80s and how he started, which is super interesting, right,
yeah,
Sam?
Yeah, that was real cool.
You watched the first episode?
The first episode was really good, and how young he looked was
He
just
dropped
like,
out of high school because he knew this is what he wanted. You're talking about a singular focused person. He knew that this was what he wanted, and you'd be interested in that part, Murphy, about how he, you know, found a job and found himself in a studio and would do anything, would sleep there, you know, figured out that he needed to write. Runaway happened before he even had a band. Like, it's so interesting.
He was still John Bon Giovanni on his first.
I know.
Whatever it is, Bon.
I do want to watch number one again, and I do want to watch number three again. I forgot what you asked me. I'm getting so excited.
Well, if number three was the hard episode for Richie Sambora.
Yes. Yeah, it was. Now, I mean, you got 60-70% answers there. You understand that they had creative problems and collaborating problems. Richie felt disrespected at one point. I won't go into details. You can wait and watch it.
Okay.
But there was also not a lot of, and that's fine, not a lot of explanation and specifics on why he, you know, backed out of the tour at the last minute a couple of times and backed out on them.
So they don't answer the drug, family, whatever rumors?
It was drugs, it was rehab and family issues.
Okay.
But he didn't go into specifics, which is fine and great. That's integrity to not throw your family under the bus. He mentioned Heather Locklear once and he said that was his ex-wife and he said that she was having some mental problems and some difficulties. And he talked about missing his daughter Ava's childhood because he was always on the road. And I thought that was, you know.
So for, you know, I wasn't the world's biggest Bon Jovi fan. It's not that I am not a fan of the music because I am. I was first exposed to it as Runaway whenever I was, which was his first, I guess his first album, right?
It was the first
Runaway,
single.
The single was the first album. So that was, I didn't. The whole Slippery When Wet thing, which was the massive album, probably their best-selling album, I guess, from the 80s.
New Jersey was right up there, though,
was
too.
It?
God, New Jersey is incredible.
Good album, but for some reason I thought Slippery When Wet was the one that really
I don't
just
know
takes
which
the,
one topped it,
right.
But those are the two biggest,
right.
Yes.
And but I don't really know like what wound up happening after that, honestly.
Mm-hmm. That's
because
a lot to know.
It was, the late 80s was Slippery When Wet. The I guess New Jersey was very late 80s, 1990-ish maybe.
Late 80s, 88 or 89.
So did the band have anything after that? Did they have a lull in the 90s before they came back in 2000?
Honestly, to answer that question, they were sick of each other. They were sick of touring. They had done, on their first tour, they did 300 dates.
Oh.
And then the next tour was like 200-something dates. And I thought that was beautifully portrayed. Maybe you didn't, if you didn't see
didn't
the second.
Didn't get there yet.
You didn't get there yet. I thought that was beautifully portrayed because you don't, as a fan, you know, I was a teenage girl. you know, they mean so much to me because at that time in my life, that beautiful, crazy, pivotal time in my life, that music meant something to me. And John Bon Jovi, when he, the vocals, stop it. So all so good. But you can't know. But think about people that you work with. If you if we all traveled together all the time and we were stuck in green rooms together all the time and you didn't even have a home to go to, these people, these kids, they were kids when they started and they were each other's family. They've said that they're a brotherhood, but they, it's not that they didn't love each other, but they just needed breaks from each other. Mm-hmm. So after New Jersey, after the last, not long after we all saw them on MTV's, not the MTV Video Music Awards, when Richie and John did that unplugged version of Wanted Dead or Alive, they literally just got on different planes and went in different directions and took some time. Oh. And that's when John did Blaze of Glory and all that. And that's all in there. That's all in there.
You know, and I forgot completely about the MTV Music Awards being that performance is what started the unplugged. Whole MTV Unplugged series after that.
Yeah. So last night when I was trying to go to bed, I was thinking about the weekend. I always kind of do that. You know, I'm very reminiscent. Like, okay, what did we do this weekend, tomorrow? You know, thinking ahead and behind. I was like, God, I feel like I spent time with them and I want it again. I didn't love, I felt like it was a lot of the voice stuff. And I understand that's John's story right now. Like being a rock singer and fighting for your voice is a story.
And so I'm guessing, since I saw, you know, just the last 20 minutes.
You didn't see the rest of it.
You know, they talk a lot about the pandemic's impact on the album and the tour that they were going to do in 2020. Mm-hmm. And but was that before the vocal cord surgery? Was that before all the problems?
Yeah, the vocal cord surgery was either 2022 or 2023.
Was he having vocal cord issues before that also?
I kind of. He was always, as the years went by, he was struggling with the voice, but it never got so bad until 2022
you know,
and 2023.
I just think that's the challenge of any rock and roller, you know, is that he's how old now? 62?
61 or 62.
You know, I mean, your voice, after subjecting it to all that for that many years, is probably difficult, along with the natural aging and changing of your voice in the first place.
And just sharing that in this documentary, the struggle.
And I also thought it was interesting what you told me about him stretching himself too far on songs, that he wrote a note or a chord change too high.
Mm. Yeah.
That he would, you know.
He goes into that and Living on a Prayer. Probably episode 3 talks about this dumbest chord change, dumbest change I ever made, because who can hit that?
At the end.
When it goes, whoa, when it goes from Tommy Eustace, and then it goes, whoa. He's like, I have to perform that. I have to do that every night, and I can't do it. And then there's a really interesting conversation with one of his sound guys. Is like, well, let the audience do that part, because they do.
Oh yeah,
it's a very interesting.
That's true.
So what I'm saying is, I watched it this weekend like it was my job, but now I want to go back and let it, you know,
sink in.
I'm not much of a fangirl of this band that I'm going to watch it again.
You know, I mean, just like any movie, you're gonna catch things you missed on the first run. 4 hours is a lot to, you know, soak in.
I wanted more, just like Michelle, when she wrote us in this morning and I shared, I wanted more of Dorothea in that relationship, his wife, you know, because they are a rock and roll story. They're kind of like the Sharon and Ozzy. Mm-hmm. They just, it's, you know, it's impressive that they made it, because they were childhood sweethearts.
Yeah.
Like, he fell in love with her before the world knew his name.
Before all the other women fell in love with him.
Yes.
Was he honest about any of that part?
A little bit. Only a smidge. He was like, he wasn't going to let it be like a Motley Crue documentary where you saw everything and heard everything. And I like that about him. He was honest. He's like, everything that you think happens on those tours happened to us too. And all the excesses came to us. Yes. Mm-hmm. So he was honest about that, but he wasn't going to go into it, which I like that.
I like that too. Considering
what's the point?
Well, all of the things that he's done to be charitable for the last couple of decades, also.
Yes.
If you're leading those kinds of things, like his kitchen and all that, you're not gonna
Kitchen.
You're not gonna want to pull yourself down a PR path. You don't need to be down.
Yeah. Don't. And you know, if everything's okay with him and his wife, that's wonderful. Then great. And his family.
Did he mention the wedding coming up?
He didn't. It wasn't about that. It was about the band and his, you know, the legacy of their band. And you realize that they do still have that respect. A lot of bands from that time who looked like that, who sounded like that, who brought us the big hair and the spandex, do not have the longevity that they do. And it's really, to watch the documentary, it's because of John's focus of what he wanted for it. It just kills you for the Richie thing, for them not to be together. It just kills you. And guys, this is just something else that happened this weekend. I had a bunch of girlfriends texting me who were also watching it. And it was so funny. I'm not going to mention their names, but one of them was like, John does not look good anymore. And then my other one, I think he looks fine.
I thought he looked great.
He does look good. But
I wish I looked like that.
I know. Yeah. I think she just means that he looks, she doesn't like it when he doesn't brush his hair. Oh. You know, he doesn't care. He cares about his body. He
still
works
has a
out.
Big head of hair for his age.
I'm wondering if that's what that is. It looks disheveled, but it's really, that's just what he's always been. He's always had the big hair. Yeah. It's what he likes.
But see, that's just.
He looks great.
When you're in the public eye, everybody has an opinion. You have to have thick skin. I mean, we know that on this small level. Yeah. It's true. You have to have a thick skin because people come at you all the time. But anyway, so some people think he looks horrible. Some people think he sounds horrible now and he should not sing anymore.
I didn't.
And then the friend of mine, another girlfriend of mine, say that, I promise you, but another friend of mine said that she doesn't like the way Richie looks now because he's got, you know, you can tell he's had work done and stuff. It's like, there's no wrong way to age. Mm. They get to age how they want. We all do.
Yeah, I was, because the episode I saw, the first episode, is a lot of them rehearsing for a tour in 2022, and it was like,
Rock and roll doesn't look the same when you've been in it for 40 years.
I know. It was in him trying to hit certain notes. It was like, oh, man.
I know.
But that was, according to what you said, really before the surgery and all that, right?
Yeah, when he realized, when his doctor mentioned surgery to him. Like, really, he had to think about that. Because what if you let somebody do surgery on your vocal cords and it doesn't work? It's such a gamble.
Yeah.
And there is a part of the, I don't want to give it away for anybody who hasn't watched it, or especially for you, if you do want to watch it, Murph. There is a part where he talks about watching the Elvis movie and loving the Elvis movie and how he relates to certain parts of it.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that Elvis could still sing all the way up until his death.
Yeah.
He was like, he envied that.
Well, I mean, again, Elvis was 42 when he passed away. He was still relatively young.
I know that. He's not wishing that he wasn't here anymore, right. John Bon Jovi. I felt like I spent time with him this weekend, and it was so fabulous. I waited a long time.
I'm just curious. Did you watch the thing on ABC?
No, I forgot about
Michael
that.
Strahan. I'm sure it's saved somewhere.
Yeah, I can watch it later, too. I was having dinner with a friend, Melanie, last night. But anyway, Melissa sent this. I have enjoyed every commercial, every social media clip, and I've smiled, and I sang out loud this weekend. He is legendary, and I'm thankful for the music that brought back such great memories. I do want more stories, so hoping for a few more episodes to be dropped.
Oh.
Melissa, I had not thought of that.
Did it seem like more could be added?
Not if they're going to go chronologically, because he took you to today, you know?
Maybe when he and Richie get back together.
Oh! Nancy said, I loved it, all caps. I've loved John Bon Jovi since I was 14. I'm the girl who had her bedroom wallpapered in Bon Jovi posters. Episode one was a little slow for me, but I get why they had to do the backstory and cover the other New Jersey artist. Oh, that's right. They went down the New Jersey artist, but that's how he became who he was. He was sneaking into bar rooms.
That was interesting to me.
Yeah. It depends on who you are. She wants to go straight to Slippery When Wet.
Yeah.
Did you get to the Slippery When Wet album cover story?
I don't think so.
Oh, you're going to love that.
And the only song at this point that I've seen is Runaway, when they had a, you know, he had to put a band together for Runaway.
Yeah. I love that song. I still love that song. I'm like, that is so great for that to have been a first.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
So when they were talking about the bands from Jersey, is that like influences for him, Springsteen? I guess you do have to have that backstory if you're going to create the whole picture of why he's passionate and what he drew from and all that.
Yeah, it was Southside Johnny and Springsteen, and both of them. Or in the documentary.
Oh, all right.
Some,
okay.
You know,
they're in. Yeah, Springsteen's throughout, actually, because he and Springsteen are friends now. No, it's an interesting, the way that he put it, and I'm paraphrasing, but the way it was explained is that, you know, watching the Stones, I grew up loving Led Zeppelin, but they were larger than life to me. He says, but he could go down to Jersey and sneak into the bar and watch Springsteen and watch Southside Johnny. So he knew that it was possible for him. And he also knew what was expected of him was to become, you know, get a trade.
Oh,
you
know,
that he was born into that
industrial trade
lifestyle. And he was fine. He would have been fine with that, but he knew he wanted something else. And I was like, oh my gosh. So it was like getting the ultimate behind the music finally.
That one up, this first episode, he talks about how he got on stage one time to cover a Springsteen song.
Yeah.
And he turns around and Bruce jumped on stage. He's like, if you're going to do it, I'm going to do it with you. Wow. And he was like,
Wow.
The other part that you would like, Murphy, that Sam liked too, it's the guys' love of this story, because it's not just for girls. Yeah. I know I said, hey, girls, I want to hear from you on our Facebook and Instagram, but was that once he realized that's what he wanted, he got a job. I think it was a family member that helped him get a job some studio.
Yeah.
And he lived there. He slept on the floor. He swept. He got coffee for people just so he could learn and watch people re-recording music.
Wow.
I mean.
And then so he got to use it during the off hours, like 2 a.m. Yeah, you can have it.
And guess what he recorded at 2 a.m?
Runaway?
Yes.
Really?
Always seems to come back to that, doesn't it?
Anyway, thank you for all of the comments and what you're seeing in this documentary and what you love about it, because it helps me see it differently. And I will start watching it again this afternoon. All right, factor time.
Yeah, start of the week. And if you're one of those people kind of like me that on Monday decides, okay, this is what we're doing the rest of the week, make out your plan. This is a good day to hop on factormeals.com, because you can order your meals, as many or as few as you like. They come pre-prepared by a chef, dietitian approved. And these are like, you don't get the menu, the recipe, and you don't have to slice potatoes or chop up carrots or any of that stuff. It's all pre-made for you. Take it out the pack. Read the instructions, which I'll say microwave for 2 minutes. Mm-hmm. And you put it in the microwave for 2 minutes, and then you eat it. And you get great stuff. Shrimp, filet mignon, chicken, a million different chicken recipes. Mm-hmm. If you're on a special plan, they have Calorie Smart, Keto, Protein Plus plans for you as well. Just order them or don't order them this week. You make your plans. Go to factormeals.com, and here's that code Murphy told you about to save you money. MSJ50. Factormeals.com. That'll get you 50% off your first box, 20% off your second box at factormeals.com.
Thanks, Factor, for being a sponsor of the Murphy, Sam, and Jody podcast.